Welcome to the show. One mechanism that can be used to commit fraud is to omit information the target of the fraud has the right to know. Today, I'm going to highlight how the federal government commits fraud against American business owners every single day by intentionally withholding information business owners have every right to know. Even if you're not a business owner, today's presentation will be enlightening because it reveals how the United States government knowingly, willfully, and intentionally scams the American people. I think we can all agree a servant government should not be scamming the people it exists to serve. Let's get into it.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. I'm the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myth, the best-selling book in America that tells the truth about the income tax. If you have not read Income Tax Shattering the Myth, it may shock you to learn that IRS forms never reveal the true legal purpose of the form. If they did, virtually no one would sign them. I'm confident you would agree with me that every income tax form should have a completely transparent, plain English explanation of precisely under what circumstances the form is required to be used and by whom. What we have is the exact opposite. The true purpose of income tax forms does not appear on the form and requires extensive research to uncover. Or one can simply read Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Before I present the facts and law on today's subject, if you're a person who demands an IRS form W-9 from vendors and contractors, please stay with me because I really want to talk to you about what you're doing and offer you something incredibly helpful that's absolutely free with zero strings attached. So stay with me for that. In the business community, IRS form W-9 is ubiquitous. There are roughly 33 million businesses in the United States, and virtually all of them furnish multiple W-9s to requesting businesses every year. Of that 33 million, probably 32 million have never been under any legal obligation to furnish a W-9 to anyone, but do it simply because everyone knows you have to. That said, if 32 million businesses filling out dozens or more of these forms each year was merely a benign misunderstanding with no harmful consequences, it wouldn't be an issue. But that is hardly the case. In point of legal fact, giving a business a W-9 does very real harm to the business that does so. A moment ago, I said that IRS forms never reveal the true legal purpose of the form. That statement is true of all IRS forms, which includes the W-9. Let's start with the title of W-9. The title is Request for Taxpayer Identification Number and Certification. That tells us what the government wants businesses to do with it, which is to provide a taxpayer identification number. But I'm sure you would agree it doesn't tell us who is required to fill out the form or under what circumstances. Now, let's move to the part of the W-9 instructions entitled Purpose of Form. That should give us the answer, right? Let's see what it says. Quote, an individual or entity, Form W-9 requester, who is required to file an information return with the IRS is giving you this form because they must obtain your correct taxpayer identification number to report on an information return the amount paid to you or other amount reportable on an information return. Let's break that down. An individual or entity who is required to file an information return with the IRS is giving you this form because. That stanza is really all we need to consider. You'll note that the W-9 is being given to you by a person who is required to file an information return. Another way to look at this is if the person making the payment is not required to file an information return, then he, she, it has no legal basis upon which to give you a Form W-9. Remember I said IRS forms never reveal their true purpose? At this point, let me ask you a question. In what type of transaction must you and another company be engaged that would require the other business to be required to file an information return? I imagine some of you who have a passing familiarity with bookkeeping or general accounting are thinking the requirement kicks in when one makes a payment of $600 or more. Sorry, no. That's a threshold issue. What activity one must be engaged in to become required to file an information return is completely different from a filing threshold. So, where might we find the law that makes a person required to file an information return? I'm about to give you that answer, but because tax law has been intentionally written to hide the truth from the public, please follow along closely as I tie the relevant sections together for you. Let's begin with the statute that has convinced rank-and-file businesses across the country that they are required to file information returns on any payment they make to vendors. That statute is found at 26 U.S.C. Section 6041 and reads, "All persons engaged in a trade or business and making payment in the course of such trade or business to another person, blah, blah, blah." Sounds pretty simple, right? Not so fast there, Skippy. If you've watched any of my previous videos on an income tax, you know that Congress is free to take words of which the public knows the meaning and redefine those words to mean something different than we understand the word to mean. It might surprise you to learn that the phrase trade or business has a different meaning in tax law than what you think those words mean. At 26 U.S.C. 7701A26, we find trade or business defined this way. The term trade or business includes the performance of the function of a public office. Now, before anyone launches with the idea that because the definition uses the word includes, it means the performance of the functions of a public office, plus whatever you think that phrase means, the law does not work that way. Definitions in law must be precise. In the tax code, the word includes, when used in a definition, means non-enumerated things may be added, but only such things as reasonably fit within the category established by the words that appear in the definition. The meaning of includes entered U.S. tax law shortly after the turn of the 20th century and is written in a somewhat convoluted manner, so I'm going to give you the version from another area of taxation that uses more modern language. That is 27 CFR 72.11, which reads, "The terms includes and including do not exclude things not enumerated, which are in the same general class." Class is merely a legal way of saying category. If you'd like to read the older, more convoluted version, you can find that at 26 U.S.C. 7701C. Returning to trade or business, the words that establish the category are, quote, "the performance of the function of a public office." In other words, Congress decided not to itemize every action that might be considered the performance of the function of a public office, but instead chose to write the definition so that any activity reasonably within the description can be considered a part of the definition without providing a long list of those activities. Accordingly, the first takeaway from the law virtually every business in America uses to claim they are required to file information returns has zero applicability to private sector businesses. None. Zero. As you just read with your own eyes, it applies exclusively to those who make payments in the course of the performance of the function of a public office. Next, I want to take you to the regulations for the statute we just deciphered. The purpose of this is to see if the reg says something different than the statute. We do that because the federal courts have held that in tax matters, the regulations control. Income tax regulations are found in Part 1 of the regs, and the reg for 6041 is found at 26 CFR 1.6041, which reads, "Every person engaged in a trade or business shall make an information return." As you can see, the reg for 6041 also says the requirement to file an information return is on a person performing the function of a public office, not private sector companies. Although we now know who is to make the request for a W-9, we still don't know what activity creates that requirement. Some of you may be thinking, it is enough to know that it doesn't involve private sector companies, and I don't disagree with you. Nevertheless, let's go a bit further just to be thorough because there are some pretty astounding revelations right around the corner. As an aside, not long ago I did a whiteboard presentation on Form W-9, so if a visual representation would be helpful, you'll find the link down in the notes. We have yet to delve into how the Treasury Department classifies the Form W-9, which is a key issue. The Secretary of the Treasury classifies a Form W-9 as a withholding certificate. You can see that in the regs at 26 CFR 1.1471-1B148, which reads, the term withholding certificate means a Form W-8, Form W-9, or any other certificate that under the Code of Regulations certified or establishes the Chapter 4 status of a payee or beneficial owner. Why is knowing the W-9 is a withholding certificate important? Because a withholding certificate is only to be provided to a withholding agent. We'll discuss who is the withholding agent in just a moment. Before we do, let's quickly detour to Treasury Decision 8734. The first thing you need to know about 8734 is its title and subtitle. Its title is Section 1441, Withholding of Tax on Non-Resident Aliens. The subtitle is 26 CFR 1.1441-1, Requirement for the Deduction and Withholding of Tax on Payments to Foreign Persons. The important thing to keep in mind about Treasury Decision 8734 is that it addresses only the matters described in the title and subtitle, which is the withholding of income tax on payments made to foreign persons. Not a single word of 8734 has anything to do with ordinary Americans like me or you, or American companies doing business with one another. Before jumping into 8734, I should mention the Treasury decision is declared the official position of the Treasury Department and are the foundation from which tax regulations are drafted. Treasury decisions are binding upon all Treasury Department employees, which includes the IRS. I'll put a link to 8734 down in the notes. Here is what 8734 tells us. Quote, reporting to the IRS may be required under the reporting provisions of Chapter 61 of the Code, such as Section 6041, 6041A, 6042, 6044, 6045, 6049, 650A, or 650N, parenthesis, the Form 1099 reporting provision, close parenthesis and close quote. You may have noticed the sentence mentions, among several sections, 6041, which, as we just discussed, is cited by businesses across the country as requiring them to file information returns on vendors or contractors they pay. Again, I want to remind you that 8734 pertains exclusively to payments of U.S. source income to foreign persons. One may be thinking that a requirement to file an information return concerning U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person doesn't mean the same can't also be true of American companies doing ordinary domestic business with one another. And you're right, one does not preclude the other. But for the information return filing requirement to apply to American companies doing domestic business with one another, there would need to be a Treasury decision saying that. In the 111 years since the income tax was enacted, there is not a single Treasury decision that says that. In other words, the Secretary of the Treasury, writing the legally controlling official positions of the Treasury Department, has said 6041 imposes an information return filing requirement upon those who are making payments of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person, but has never once in 111 years said 6041 imposes that requirement on American companies doing domestic business with one another. One would have to be a complete moron to believe that's just a 111-year oversight. So, when one reads in Section 6041 that a company paying a vendor or contractor $600 or more must file an information return on that payment, that statute is speaking exclusively about payments of U.S. source income to a foreign person. Sections such as 6041 are merely what I call the computational rules. That can be verified by the fact that they are found in subtitle F entitled Procedures and Administration, which lays out the procedure but is devoid of details concerning under which circumstances said procedures are to be followed. Earlier, I mentioned that withholding certificates such as the W-9 are only to be provided to a withholding agent. So, what's a withholding agent? Because withholding agent is in many ways the crux of the income tax, its definition appears again and again in the code, the regs, and the Treasury decisions. One location is in the regs at 26 CFR 1.1441-7A and reads, For the purpose of Chapter 3 of the Internal Revenue Code and the regulations under such chapter, the term withholding agent means any person, U.S. or foreign, that has the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any item of income of a foreign person. You can also look at a statute such as 26 U.S.C. 1441, which defines withholding agent as, quote, except as otherwise provided in subsection C, all persons in whatever capacity acting, including lessees or mortgagors of real or personal property, fiduciaries, employers, and all officers and employees of the United States, having the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any of the items of income specified in subsection B, to the extent that any such items constitute gross income from sources within the United States, of any non-resident alien individual or any foreign partnership. If we disregard some of the words that are superfluous, to say the least, to our purpose today, Section 1441 reads like this. All persons in whatever capacity acting, having the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any items of income of any non-resident alien individual or of any foreign partnership. Whether we're looking at statutes, regs, or Treasury decisions, the circumstance that defines a withholding agent is that he, she, or it has control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. Period. Full stop, zero exceptions. Now, let's toss in another statement from Treasury Decision 8734. Quote, the determination by a withholding agent of the U.S. or foreign status of a payee and of its other relevant characteristics is made on the basis of a withholding certificate that is a Form W-8 or a Form 8233 or a Form W-9. Or a Form W-9. Are you getting it yet? Let me sum it up for you. Form W-9. A withholding certificate is only to be provided to a withholding agent. A withholding agent is a person making payment of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. A Form W-9 is used by the withholding agent to determine whether he is making the payment directly to the foreign person or to the foreigner's U.S. agent, known in tax law as a U.S. person. Let's go one step further. There are many statutes and regs that instruct a payor to do this or that. 99.9% of accountants who don't know any of the things we've discussed today will tell a client that when an ordinary American business pays another ordinary American business, the entity making the payment is the payor. And that's total bullshit. Here's the definition of payor, which you can find the 26 CFR 1.1441-1C19 and reads, quote, the term payor is defined in section 3.1.3406A-2 of this chapter and section 1.6049-4A2 and generally includes a withholding agent as defined in section 1441-7A. Hopefully you caught the part about a payor generally includes a withholding agent as defined in section 1.1441-7A. Generally means that withholding agent and payor are always synonymous unless there is a specific circumstance spelled out in the law in which they are not to be considered synonymous. I've been reading U.S. income tax law for 31 years, and I've never come across any section that separates them. When the definition says payor is synonymous with withholding agent, it specifically says, as defined in section 1.1441-7A, which we just read a moment ago, but to refresh your memory, 1.1441-7A reads, the term withholding agent means any person, U.S. or foreign, that has the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any item of income of a foreign person. In other words, payor also means any person, U.S. or foreign, that has the control, receipt, custody, disposal, of payment of an item of income of a foreign person. When accountants tell clients that making a payment between two ordinary domestic businesses makes the company cutting the check a payor, they have no idea what they're talking about. Before I move on, I'd like to quickly tell you about some of the subjects I'll be tackling in future shows. In terms of people who took the mRNA vaccine continuing to become infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, such as Joe Biden just a few weeks ago, it is not immune escape, as the establishment would have all of us believe. It is something considerably more disturbing. As the headlines keep saying the world is inching closer to an international war, I'm going to reveal some shocking and timely legal truths about America's Selective Service Law. No matter what you've been told and have come to believe, and perhaps accepted as an article of faith, you have never paid a penny into Social Security, and because of that, the government is not under a continuing obligation to pay you anything. If you're interested in learning realities the establishment won't tell you, subscribe to the channel. Also, please take a moment and hit the like button so the algorithms will show this video to more people. Thank you. Now, back to the subject at hand. With today's evidence laid out for you, I now come to the main point of this presentation. When you sign a W-9 under penalty of perjury, to what are you swearing? Above the signature line, it says this. Under penalties of perjury, I certify that, number one, the number shown on this form is my correct taxpayer identification number, or I am waiting for a number to be issued to me. And number two, I am not subject to backup withholding because A, I am exempt from backup withholding, or B, I have not been notified by the Internal Revenue Service that I am subject to backup withholding as a result of a failure to report all interest or dividends, or C, the IRS has notified me that I am no longer subject to backup withholding. And three, I am a U.S. citizen or other U.S. person defined below. And number four, the FACTA codes entered on this form, if any, indicating that I am exempt from FACTA reporting is correct. I hope you notice that it does not state you are swearing that you are receiving payments of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. It doesn't say that for two reasons. The first and most obvious is that if it said that on the form, virtually no American would sign it. The second reason is the government takes the position that if you sign any tax form under penalty of perjury, you did your research and you know who is to use it and under what circumstances. And after educating yourself, you chose to sign it, thus certifying under penalty of perjury that the money you're receiving belongs to a foreign person. Now, compare that to police having to tell suspects about their Miranda rights before questioning them. When it comes to something as simple as keeping your mouth shut when questioned, the government is required to make sure you're aware you have that option. But when it comes to getting money from you, the government takes the position that in matters as complex as what we've discussed today, it has zero obligation to make sure you know what you're really swearing to. That the government knowingly, willfully, and intentionally is keeping Americans in the dark about the true meaning of virtually all income tax forms is why I refer to the income tax as the largest financial crime in history. The sections we've examined have stated that the purpose of a withholding certificate is so the withholding agent can determine your status. When an American business person signs a W-9 in the course of conducting ordinary business with another American company, he or she is attesting, under penalty of perjury, to the following falsehoods. Number one, a falsehood about who the W-9 requester is. The requester is not a withholding agent. Number two, a falsehood about who owns the income. It does not belong to a foreign person. Number three, a falsehood about your role. You are not acting as the agent of a foreign person. When you sign a W-9, you are implicitly saying those things are true. Understanding that most Americans would be, and are, committing perjury when they sign a W-9, we've come to the moment when I'd like to speak to those of you who request a W-9 from others. I'm sure this is the first time you've seen the law, and so this is also the first time you realize you're not the person to whom a W-9 should be given because you're not a withholding agent, and the people from whom you have obtained W-9s are not receiving income belonging to a foreign person. In short, you now know W-9s should not have been furnished. With that said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that this is how it's always been done, so how can you just stop doing it? You're wondering what your accountant would say. You're wondering how you would write off the expenses without filing a 1099. And you're wondering if following the law would land you in trouble. Let's look at those one by one. I get that if you've been requesting a W-9 from vendors and contractors for years, the idea of no longer doing so might be disconcerting, but I hope you also understand you can't keep doing something that's outside the law simply because you've always done it that way. The good news is I'm going to provide you with a solution so you can be 100% comfortable following the law and doing what's right. What will your accountant say? I don't mean to be harsh, but who cares? You can't act in an unlawful manner simply because a poorly informed guy tells you to. Show your accountant this video. Ask him to show you the statute, reg, or treasury decision that states one domestic company doing business with another domestic company without a foreigner owning the income is required to furnish a W-9. If you review this video a couple of times, you should be well positioned to realize your accountant really has no clue what the law says. He or she is merely regurgitating falsehoods they were taught. I hope it's self-evident you should not follow the directions of someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. You're wondering how to write off the type of expenses for which you used to file 1099s. This is an easy one. There is not a single statute or regulation in existence in the 111-year history of the income tax that requires a business to file an information return in order to write off an expense. If you think about it for a couple minutes, you'll be able to come up with any number of products and services you've written off in the past without having filed information returns. The only standard for taking a write-off is, and always has been, that if the deduction is ever questioned, you can show the amount deducted was an expense made in the course of operating the enterprise. Nothing more is, or ever has been, required to take a deduction. And finally, will you get in trouble for following the law? You will not, but it is always good to be able to show that you followed the law. How do you do that? To answer that question, we have to consider how the IRS looks at things. As backward-ass as it is, the IRS presumes every payment made by every business in the U.S. is to a foreign person or the foreign person's domestic agent. Why is that? It is their presumption because the income tax has been imposed on U.S. source income belonging to foreign persons. Follow me in the IRS's thinking. Since virtually no Americans, damn few American businesses, are acting as domestic agents for foreign persons, how would the IRS be notified when an American or an American company was indeed acting as an agent for a foreign person with U.S. source income? The answer is the IRS would not know about those exceedingly rare occasions unless the government took the position that every domestic business making a payment to anyone has to ask for the payee status. And that is exactly the position the government has taken. Phrased another way, the government's position is that if 5,000 requests for certification of status result in only a handful of payees stating they are foreigners or the domestic agent of foreigners, then in those couple of cases, the government can enforce U.S. income tax law on the foreigner or the foreigner's domestic agent because information returns will be filed on those payments, allowing the government to track the U.S. source income to the withholding agent and collect the tax. The problem with the government's approach is twofold. The first is that the government is all too happy to spread propaganda that businesses must file information returns on payments associated with ordinary domestic business relationships when, as you've seen today, that's complete horseshit. That's why I refer to what the government is doing as the largest financial crime in history. The second problem is also driven by government propaganda. Businesses believe that when they ask someone for a W-9, there are only two possible responses. One being to provide a W-9, and the other being to not provide one, in which case the business will threaten to not pay you at all or to illegally engage in something called backup withholding. Because of 60 years of government disinformation, with the accounting industry being the number one spreader of that disinformation, the business never stops to consider there is a third appropriate response, which is to communicate to the requester that the payee is not a person required to furnish a W-9. But instead of saying, oh, okay, I understand, here's your payment, the requester responds by threatening to deprive you of some or all of your earnings that they are contractually obligated to pay. In short, they commit extortion. Not only that, but because they are threatening to commit an illegal act against you unless you commit perjury, that's another crime called subornation of perjury. And it's a felony. Is there a better way for businesses to address the certification issue before making a payment to a vendor or contractor? Of course. And it's so simple. all the company needs to do is, instead of demanding a W-9, ask the payee to sign a document I will send free of charge to any business that asks. It will come to you in a template form so you can quickly change the payee info and send it off. The document opens with a statement that the company is asking for status certification. It explains that one box must be checked in each of the three sections, sections A, B, and C. Here are the statements the payee can check using the appropriate box. In section A, this business is owned or controlled by a foreign person, or this business is not owned or controlled by a foreign person. Section B, this business is acting as the U.S. agent for a non-resident alien or foreign corporation, or this business is not acting as a U.S. agent for a non-resident alien or foreign corporation. And section C, payments made to this business constitute U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person, or payments made to this business do not constitute U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. If the payee checks the first box in any of these sections, the company follows up with the appropriate request for a W-9, as required by law. If the second box is checked in all three sections, the company simply places that document in the vendor or contractor's file and cuts the check. No demand for a government form that has nothing to do with the payee. No extortionate tactics. No threats. No strong-arming. No subornation of perjury. And the company has the necessary document in its files if anyone ever asks. All a company needs to do to get that document is to email me at dave@drreality.news. I'm not going to put you on a mailing list or anything shady like that. All I'm going to do is hit reply, attach the document in PDF, and hit send. That's it. Let's recap the fundamental realities you learned today. You learned the W-9s are only to be requested by and given to withholding agents, and you're not one. You learned that only domestic agents of foreign persons with U.S. source income are permitted to give a W-9 to a withholding agent, and again, you're not one. You learned that the person receiving a W-9, the withholding agent, is a person who has custody, control, and payment of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. And you learn that Form 1099 is only to be filed by a withholding agent on U.S. source income paid to the domestic agent of a foreign person, something you've likely never done in your entire business existence. Having gotten that under your belt, you may be wondering why what you thought was true for years, or perhaps decades, isn't. I hope what I'm about to say doesn't shock you too badly, but the disconnect you're experiencing is because not only is the societal narrative concerning the W-9 completely wrong, but the societal narrative about who owes income tax is 100% wrong. The reason that everything you learned today has been about foreign persons with U.S. source income is that Congress has imposed the income tax on just three classes of persons. Those three classes are non-resident aliens with U.S. source income, foreign corporations with U.S. source income, and U.S. citizens residing abroad with foreign earned income. That's it. Nowhere on that list are Americans earning their own domestic income, and that's precisely why W-9s and 1099s only apply to foreign persons with U.S. source income. Respectfully, you were mistaken about W-9s and 1099s because you've been mistaken about the income tax in general. You never imagined W-9s and 1099s were limited to foreign persons with U.S. source income because you never imagined the income tax is limited to foreign persons with U.S. source income. Yet, that is the truth of it. But please do not believe me. I want you to see the law for yourself. It may surprise you to hear that as much material as we've covered today, we've only scratched the surface of what you'll find in income tax shattering the myths. Tens of thousands of readers have had their lives changed by what they discovered in Income Tax Shattering the Myths. On this topic, there are basically two kinds of people, those who want to know the truth and those who fear the truth. I'll likely never be able to reach the fearful folks because facts, no matter how voluminous, can't overcome an emotion like fear. If you're the kind of person who wants to know the truth about what the government has done and is doing, then you absolutely want to read Income Tax Shattering the Myths. I should mention that it is not dry or boring. It's actually pretty exciting. Many readers have said they could not put it down. Others have shared that they've read it again and again over the years, not because they had to, but because it's that enjoyable. Did I mention that I have not filed or paid in 31 years? Because I know what the law actually says? You can get Income Tax Shattering the Myths at drreality.news, drreality.news. I'll put the link down in the notes. While you're there, please take a look at Body Science. If you want the same kind of evidence-based breakdown as you've seen today, but focused on how your body's physiology actually works, rather than the false narrative Americans have been fed for 60 years, pick up a copy of Body Science. 70% of our population is overweight or obese. Diseases like diabetes and Alzheimer's are exploding. Obesity in children, which was almost unknown a few decades ago, is now commonplace. Trillion-dollar industries pour money into bogus research that produces contrived results, which generates massive profits for those industries at the expense of your health and the health of your loved ones. With the help of their conspirators in the media, they tell you they have proof that everything that is, in fact, healthy for you will make you sick, while at the same time encouraging you to consume the very things that will make you sick. Government agencies such as the National Institutes of Health, the FDA, and the Department of Agriculture are partners with Big Med, Big Pharma, and Big Food in putting out billions of dollars in health disinformation every year. Because of that disinformation, what may shock you the most is that much of what you now believe about health and physiology is inaccurate. But it's not your fault. The disinformation started in the early 1960s, so it's likely you've been inundated with their disinformation your entire life. That disinformation has led the people of the wealthiest and most technologically advanced nation on Earth to be the sickest people in all of human history. Here's the bottom line. If you read Body Science and put into action what you find there, you will leave the ranks of the misled and sick and become astoundingly healthy. I practice what I preach. As I'm recording this, I'm just a few weeks from turning 65. I adhere to everything you will find in Body Science, and I'm as healthy as when I was a teenager. Body Science has never gotten anything less than a 5-star rating, and readers rave about the fact that they look and feel decades younger after putting into action what they learn in Body Science. So go to drreality.news, drreality.news, and pick up a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths and Body Science. They'll be two of the most fascinating books you've ever read, and you have my word on that. Also, by purchasing Income Tax Shattering the Myths and or Body Science, you help me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. Please share this presentation with others. And thank you for being here. Take care.